Hey, this whole year, we're going to have different people come in and talk about parenting because we know that parenting is one of the most challenging things that's going to hit us, right? And so we've got Scott Kadersha coming to talk on parenting and just about discipling your kids. We've got Blake Holmes talking about how do we teach the word to our kids. We've got Brett Billman's going to come this summer and talk about finances and just stewardship and help us with that a little bit. So tonight, how we're going to kick off tonight is I just want to talk about, so those of you who don't know, I spent 26 years in student ministry and worked with junior high and high school kids. And I saw a lot of things with parents that I want to encourage you with. Four kind of common mistakes I saw parents make, and then four things that we're going to talk about that could be the greatest gift you could give your kids. Okay? And so I hope you're going to be encouraged. This would be a good thing, time to write some stuff down because we're going to also have some time just to discuss some questions at the end just to talk about this. And here's what I want to say on the front end is parenting for everybody is a huge challenge. Okay? And I know there's inherent even more challenges being a single parent. Let's just be honest that that's, you know, you're having to take that on as a single parent is an even tougher thing. So as we talk about some things that I've seen, and some things, and by the way, they're things that I've seen in myself. Okay, I've seen me struggle with these ditches. I can see where I'm tempted to think that, or some common mistakes. I'm tempted to do the same thing in my own parenting. For those of you who don't know, I have a 19-year-old son, I have a 17-year-old son, and I have a 14-year-old son. And so I can remember when my 19-year-old son was just a baby, and he was in the crib, and if you guys know, our room where he was right next door, and I can remember hearing him just wailing. It's about 4 a.m. You guys remember this when you have little kids. Some of you may be in this now where they're not sleeping all the way through the night and that kind of thing. And so I heard him crying, and so like a good dad, I got out and I went in there and I said, and what Braden was doing was he was pulling himself up in the crib, and he couldn't figure out how to get back down. And so he was just wailing. And so I went in there and I said, hey, Braden, I said, hey, buddy, just lay down, man, just lay down. So I'd lay him down and he'd stop crying. Then he'd pull himself back up and he'd be sitting there again and he'd start wailing again. And so at 4 in the morning, you're not quite coherent. I mean, everything drives you a little nuts. And so I can remember going, Braden, stop, buddy, you got to lay down. And I remember going, lay down, bud. You know, I kept, you know, and all of a sudden I'm getting frustrated. And so Angie comes in, my wife, and says, I'll get it. I'll get it. I think she could tell Dad was a little bit beyond himself here. And so I remember just this, I was frustrated. I kind of popped the door on the way out, and I said this great thing. I said, I'm going to the office. It's 4 a.m., okay? And I just remember going, and so I went and sat in the living room like, I just said I'm going to the office. And I remember Angie coming out, and we were just sitting there, and we were both just, you know, tired and frustrated. And she looked over at me, and we just started laughing. We were like, I go, what was that? I'm going to the office, and I popped the door. I was like, if you remember when I was growing up, there were these made-for-television movies, like these dramatizations. I felt like I was right in the middle of one of those. You know, I was that dad who dad loses it, heads to the office at 4 a.m. And so I tell you that story because it's just a little illustration of many moments through my life where I've said, man, that was some bad parenting, or that was, I lost my cool there, or man, I blew it here, or whatever. And so I want you guys to hear that I'm in the race with you. And I see parenting as a great challenge. But here's what I believe about parenting. I think one of the great gifts of parenting is it causes us to be so dependent on the Lord. And it causes us to turn to Him. And so I think if it was just easy, if A plus B equals C, we'd kind of do whatever we need to do. And then we'd kind of go, Lord, I got it. And we'd forget the Lord. And I think that's true in so many things in life. And so one of the things I'm thankful for is that one thing about your kids is we can point them to Christ, but we can't make them do anything. Okay, we can't make them choose to serve Him and love Him and honor Him. And so, but there are things we can do to point them, and that's what we're going to talk about a lot tonight. And there's things that we can get caught up in that I want to address tonight. And so I want to tell you four common things that I see, have seen parents do, and I've seen me do it. The first one is this idea that we can overindulge our kids, okay? And man, if you're, anything that I say tonight, if you go, God, that kind of hits home. I think I do that sometimes. Me too, okay? And so what I want you to do here is hey, take note of some things, then ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what would you have me do differently? What's one step I could take towards something along these lines? But overindulging kids, I've watched where kids are, we try to pacify them. It's a little bit like when your kid's going crazy and they want that you take the toy and they've done something and then they're going crazy and you go, just take the toy so you'll be quiet. Okay? It's a little bit of that analogy, but that could be true for a long time. That could be true when they become a teenager. That could be true as they get older. We could be tempted to go, man, if I just keep them happy, if I just keep them pacified, so to speak, then that's going to be, I'll just kind of bear and endure it. And what I've seen with that is that pacified kids can be trouble waiting to happen. Because just think about this analogy. If we gave our kids everything they wanted, okay, we would not be a very loving parent. If a kid, and we think that sometimes, we go, man, I want to give my kids everything they want. But the reality is if we really said, hey, what do you want for dinner? They go, man, I want cookies and cake and ice cream, and I'd like that every night, okay? And it's a little bit like that with parenting. If we say, man, I just want to let my kids decide what's best for them, okay, we can overindulge them, and we begin to go, well, I just want to keep them happy and keep them content, and I want them to love me as a parent. We could even get caught up in that. And my kid, do my kids love me? And if I give them stuff, it makes me feel good. And so I just want to encourage you that I've seen that really come to backfire against parents. And I've seen it where I'm tempted to, man, I don't love for my kids to be down or upset, but I go, man, I know that life's full of times when they're not going to get what they want. And so I don't want to teach them that that's how life is. And so first thing there is just that we got to be careful that we don't overindulge. The second one, and this is one that I've been challenged with big time, is that we can be easily susceptible to the idol of sports and education, okay, and school and homework and grades. And we can get caught up in that. And it's not that we don't want our kids to have good grades, and we want them to do their best. I love the story of a dad here at Watermark that I really respect. And the way he said, one night he said, hey, I'm going home to celebrate with my son what he got in math. And I go, that's awesome. And I'm thinking, well, he probably got an A. And he goes, he got a C. And we're going to celebrate. And I was like, really? Why are you celebrating? He goes, because my son really struggles with math, and he worked so hard, and he had a great attitude. And he goes, math just doesn't come easy for him, and we're going to go celebrate because of the effort he put forth. And I thought, that's a great parenting move. Okay, so it wasn't a, hey, we only celebrate when they do perfectly or when they make the grade. But we celebrate an effort and an attitude, which is a lot of, you guys know in the workplace, even as you work with folks, if you have a good attitude and you show great effort, that's a lot of the battle. I still tell my people that work with me on staff, I just go, man, if you're passionate and teachable, effort and attitude, man, I'll work with you all day long. And so there's something to be said. The sports, you know, we can look at things like Tiger Woods when his story and how his dad said at 2 years old, he was teaching him, he put the club in his hand and started teaching him to swing. We go, well, I got to do that with my kid. And now sports, we want to get them started earlier and get them on teams, and we're afraid that we'll fall behind if they're not with this. Or maybe it's a band or orchestra or something. We want them to start learning piano at two, you know, or whatever it is. And I just would tell you that what can happen there is we start living for windows of time that are going to pass. And what you got to ask yourself is, what do I want for my kids? What's the goal? Is my goal for them to be a great musician? That could be a great thing that's part of their life, but I don't think that's my goal. Is my goal for my sons to be a great basketball player? I have a son who was a pretty good high school basketball player, had some offers to go play college ball and stuff. And what I realized about me, though, is that he decided after high school, he goes, man, I think I want to just go to school. And I go, great. And then I'm going, really? You know, it's one of those deals. And what I noticed in me was that I have missed watching him play. Some of that's really great, but some of it is I loved watching him succeed, and I liked the way it made me feel as a dad. And so I don't want to get caught up in windows of time. What we'd always say about basketball with my son is we'd say, hey, it's just basketball. We don't worship it. Okay, we can enjoy it, but let's not worship it. And what I've realized is, you know, when you know something is something that's maybe a little out of balance for you, when you worship something, is that when it consumes you or when it robs your joy, your boy doesn't have a good game, or your girl doesn't do well, and that she didn't get the lead part in the program, and then all of a sudden you're down, okay, and it affects you. And you start to go, man, maybe that's out of balance in my heart. And so there's an idol of our kids' performance that we have to be really careful with, because that can be about us and not about them. Okay, next thing. So right here, the next one that I've seen is this idea of being your kid's friend and not their parent. And you guys, this goes along with some of this overindulge idea. And, you know, when you hear the when you hear people say, I'm my kid's best friend, okay? I think if you define that in a way where you say, hey, I really care about them, I love them, I have an unconditional love for them, that kind of thing, there's some really good parts. There's a partial truth to that that can be really great. But what can be really hard is when you as a parent have to make hard decisions with them, or you have to give them consequences, or you have to discipline them. And when you do that, and if you're being their best friend, maybe there are times when you go, man, I don't want them to not like me. Okay, and that's what best friends do, right? They go, are we still good friends? And I think God has given you more of a role than to be their best friend. He has called you to be their mom or their dad. And there is a call to discipline them, to love them, to instruct them, and to show them the way. That's what we're called to do as parents. And so I will tell you that on the friend, not parent, I'll give you a story with Braden, another one with him. When Braden was in fifth grade, Braden was playing the fifth versus sixth grade football game after school, and it was guys and girls, and they were just having fun out there, and Braden goes back for a pass, and he throws. Braden was a tall kid. He throws and hits a girl right in the face. Okay, and like a man, she ran after him, and he ran for the hills. Okay, he was like, "Oh my gosh, she's gonna kill me!" So he runs, and instead of which we had some instruction about that, I'll tell you in a minute. So he runs, and then another kid comes over, a sixth grader, and pops Braden in the stomach three times. Boom, boom, boom. And so I get the call that, hey, Braden's at home, and he's pretty upset, and here's what happened. And so first thing I do is I call a friend. I go, hey, I'd love to hear what you think. Here's kind of what I'm thinking. Just sought counsel. And when I got home, if I want to be Braden's good buddy, I go, Braden, man, this stinks, man. I hate this happened to you. Let's just let this kind of blow over. And, hey, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean to hit her with the football. And this could hit you, but maybe it'll just kind of all go away tomorrow. That's not what I did. Okay? What we did was when I got home, we found out who this girl was first. And we said, hey, we need to go find out where she lives, and we need to go have a conversation with her. And then we got to find out who this boy is so that we can reconcile with him, because there's been conflict here, obviously. And so I told Braden, I said, this will be a great thing for you one day. You'll learn how to handle when conflict happens. And so we met at Brahms, which is the great place to settle conflict. They have ice cream. They have all the goodies there. And so I met with the mom and her daughter, and the dad and his son, and me and Braden. And we just sat down, and I said, hey, I was talking to a little girl, and I said, hey, I bet, tell me what happened. Well, we were throwing, he threw the ball, hit me in the face. And I said, I bet that really hurt. And I said, I probably embarrassed you a little bit too. And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, Braden, what do we do when we cause somebody pain? You know, what do we do when we cause somebody pain or when we hurt somebody? And Braden said, well, he said, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? He goes, I didn't mean to hit you, but I could see where that would really hurt, and will you forgive me? And her face kind of went, yeah, I forgive you. I forgive you. And then the boy, you know, we talked to him. I said, hey, I understand you're probably thinking, man, I'm kind of coming to the defense of this girl, but you came over and decided it was the best thing to tick your fist and hit Braden. What do we think about that? And so he goes, man, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for hitting you? And so we just had this conversation about, hey, what does it look like when we hurt somebody? And then at the end, this mom looked at me, and she goes, you know what? She looked like me kind of surprised. She goes, I think this went really well. And I said, yeah. I said, it's great when we handle things in a way where we own what we've done. We ask forgiveness. And so what I was modeling for Braden was a biblical way to handle conflict. Okay? And if I'm his best friend, I kind of go, hey, man, you probably don't want it. If I just said, Braden, do you want to go do this? He goes, not really. Dad, let's don't do it. I'll go, okay, well, since we're buddies. And I would have missed an opportunity to really teach him how to love somebody when he's wronged them and how to help somebody else own their stuff and come to a place of reconciliation, which was great, okay? So the best friend thing can be also, and then the fourth one is this, a lack of spiritual investment. And man, some of you guys, when I say that, you may go, oh man, Bron, I don't know every Bible verse, and I don't know all 28 chapters of Acts. I can't, you know, I really struggle with this. And so what I want to challenge you with, y'all remember the show Everybody Loves Raymond? Well, there was one where, I never watched that show that close, but I saw a clip that really made me laugh because his daughter, he's talking with his daughter up in his room, and he says, I think he's getting ready to have the sex talk with her. And he's getting ready to talk with her, and she says, Dad, I don't want to hear about that. She goes, I want to know why we're here. And she goes, why did God put us here? And if we're all going to go to heaven, why don't we just go up to heaven and be with him? And you see Raymond's eyes go, oh, what? You know, and he goes, and so he starts looking at this book. It's a book on sex. When he's trying to, he's going, I don't know how to answer. And so he all of a sudden goes, I think God, heaven's really crowded, and God wants to, he's just waiting for it to kind of get less crowded. So, you know, it's just a terrible answer, okay? And so, but it was funny because you just love, it's the kind of, you know, here it is, the picture of the unprepared parent to talk about spiritual things. And here's what I tell you is, we don't have to have every answer, but what we need to be is people who are going, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm in his word. When I'm at the table with my boys, I just get to tell them what God's teaching me. And it's not rocket science. It doesn't have to be this amazing, you don't have to get them and go, let me give you a 20-minute sermon on, you know, this. You just share what God's teaching you, how he's humbling. Maybe it was a hard day for you. You go, you know what? Guys, would you pray for me because I'm really struggling today with this. And here's a verse that's comforted me today. Okay, and you share that verse with them. And if you don't remember it, go get your Bible and go, hey, let's go sit in the living room for a minute. Let me just share a verse with you guys that's meant a lot to me. Okay, so lack of spiritual investment. If we don't take the time to tell them about the goodness of our God, and here's what can happen is, I was sitting with a dad one time. We were talking about his son, and his son didn't want to come to our Sunday night high school meeting. And I remember him saying, should I make him go? And I said, you know, I don't think I would make him go. I said, you know what I'd do is instead of on that Sunday night, instead of him going there, I think I'd encourage you, go take him to dinner and talk to him about what God's teaching you and invest in your son. And I could see him kind of going, man, I've done the stuff. I took the trips. I've checked the dad boxes. And I just went, but man, here's your son who's hurting. I think you have an opportunity to build a relationship with him. And you get to tell him about what God's doing in your life. And it doesn't have to look like a sermon. It could be as simple as, hey, you're just sharing what God's teaching you, okay? And so I want to encourage you that it's little things in the spiritual investment area, not big things, okay? So here are the last things I want to tell you. Four greatest things. Now I've kind of told you some things that I've seen that are ditches for parents. And you may be going, hey, those are some I can think about. Maybe see if some of that's true. It is true for me at times with all of them. But here are the four greatest things that I think you should consider with your parenting. Okay? The first one, the greatest personal gift I think you could give your kids, okay, is a radical commitment to be like Christ, to know him and walk with him. You go, man, wait a minute. Bro, what does that look like? It's a radical commitment. And you know what I think's radical? What I mean by that is that your kids would see something different in you besides what they see, all the messages around them. They would see you being about eternal things. They would see you being a servant leader. And hopefully when you hear that, you go, oh, man, I can't be a radical follower of Christ if I don't know him and if I'm not pursuing him and if I'm not spending time with him, I'll never be like him. That's true for me every day. I just go, Lord, if you don't show up today, you know, in my life, if your spirit doesn't reign, then I won't be a great parent or a great friend or any of those things. So here's what I want to ask you a question. When you think about it, if you asked your kids, hey, what does mommy love? Or what does daddy love? And they got to really tell you what they think you love. And I can tell you that sometimes that'd be, well, dad loves the Sooners, okay? It might be that dad loves naps. It might be that dad loves to play golf. It could be a number of things there. And what I hope is true And, you know, this is one of those questions where you go, oh, man, they're going to take a long look at me. And I go, and let that sit with you a little bit, because here's what I can tell you, is there's an opportunity for that to be different. When I think about how Jesus led, Jesus was the most incredible servant leader. The scripture says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so the way that you serve and lead your family can be a reflection of Christ. And so I hope what they see in you is they see you loving the Lord, loving his word, loving others. And they would say, hey, my dad loves the Sooners, but more than that, he loves us and he loves the Lord. And I see him wanting to serve and glorify God with his life. Okay? And so we're all somewhere on the spectrum of that, and you got to go, Lord, hey, how could I grow in that area where they could say that? So this week, I'm taking some single adults, some of my guys' leadership team, through 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, look at this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And here's what I started thinking about with that, is that if you see those words in there, see imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, I hope what our kids would see in us is that if you think about the world stuff, it's the opposite of that. The world stuff is perishing. It's defiled, which means we've taken good things a lot of times and either made it useless or evil, or we've taken what God intended for good. Or it's unfading. You think about the world stuff, it's fading. Think about something you really valued not too long ago that's already gotten old, right? Your iPhone, your car, your whatever. And so I started thinking about that in my life, is where am I being a reflection to my kids that I love things that are not here and now and not things that will please me real quickly, but it's, I want to be about eternal stuff. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. I want to be Colossians 3, chapter 1, verse 1, fix my eyes on the things above, not the things of the earth. And if we model for them all the time that our life is up, ebbs and flows by perishable, fading things, then we're giving them a bad message. And the reality is that was, just for me this week, we're in the middle of trying to sell our house and get a different house. And I have been, in some ways, I've been consumed with perishable things this week. And it'll be a good opportunity for my boys just to go, hey, guys, the reason I've been consumed this week is I'm consumed with stuff that really doesn't matter, ultimately, in comparison to knowing Christ. What did Paul say in Philippians? He said, I consider all things rubbish or junk in comparison to knowing Christ. Okay? So there's the first one. The second one is this, that we should, our greatest prayer should be, Lord, change me. And I know where we want to go as parents. We want to say, Lord, would you change my kids? Okay, and I get it. And I don't think that's a bad prayer. You want the, but our greatest prayer, I think, is, Lord, change me. Start with me. Help me to be a reflection of Christ to them. Because here's the thing you need to know. You can't impart what you don't possess. Okay? And so what you have to remind yourself of is, Lord, unless you change me, unless your spirit has more in me, unless I die more to myself, then I can't reflect what it looks like to know and walk with Jesus. And so, Lord, change me is a great prayer for us. What you'll see, and this is what I see in my kids, the things that bother me the most in my kids are my shortcomings. They're the same. I go, man, I don't like the way my boy is so irritable or so gets so fired up about something. I go, that's because I do that. And so what I need to pray is, Lord, would you change me so that I could be a reflection of you? And they could see that when the Spirit reigns in us, he can take somebody like me who can be quick to temper and really change that. So that's your greatest prayer. The third thing, your greatest practice is that if you can develop is a fervent commitment to study, practice, and teach God's word. And what I mean by that, you say teach, what do you mean teach? I mean that you get a chance to share what God is teaching you through his word, and you get to teach it to your kids. And you know what's amazing? Have you guys ever been convicted when you hear your kids come back from stuff at church and they know a bunch of verses and you don't know half of the ones they've memorized? And you're going, man, my kid knows a lot of verses all of a sudden. And what you should want to know is if you read something like Psalm 19 and you hear and you see what God's word says about itself, if you read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says all scriptures God breathed, it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that every man may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we believe that, if it's God breathed, wouldn't we want to know it? And wouldn't we want to be teaching it to our kids? This week with my boys, I recently spoke to the clinic volunteers, and I was teaching them 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in there, there's this verse that just says, hey, they turn from their idols to serve the one and true living God. And so I said, hey, guys, what are your idols? What, as a high school kid right now, Easton as a junior high kid, what are your idols that are teed up for you? And what are the things I can be praying for you that you're, man, you're turned to? And let me tell you what mine are. Right now, mine's getting this house bought and get this one sold, and that could be an idol for me. Good things become bad things when they become ruling things. Okay, that's worth writing down. Good things become bad things when they become ruling things. So when they consume us, when they, and that's what I've been wrestling with, was this good thing of this house sale could be a bad thing if I let it consume me and rob me of my joy, or if it begins to put me on a roller coaster. So it's just something like that. Whatever you're learning that day, take one verse and just talk to them about it. And that can be a great opportunity for your commitment to know God's word. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Look at this verse. This will challenge you about knowing God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness to your hearts to God. I sing hymns to my kids. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. So with thankfulness to your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Little side note here, if you're wondering if something is what you should do, you ever get in that deal where you go, Lord, is this what you have me do? Or if you're going, hey, was that really the wrong thing? Ask yourself if right after you could say, thank you, God, that you allowed me to do that. Thanks that you allowed me to just make that deal with that person, even though I wasn't being quite truthful. Thanks that I got a bonus out of that, even though I didn't have integrity. You wouldn't say that. That's been a great challenge in my own walk when I journal. I go, wait, could I thank the Lord for that? The way I just disciplined my kid, the way I just loved a friend or whatever it is, could I thank? Yeah, many times, yes. But there are other times when I'm kind of going, I don't know if that was from the Lord. That might have been just from me. Okay? So a commitment to know God's word. And here's the last one. One of the greatest mistakes I think parents can make, and this is why I love that we get to gather here, and I hope this is happening more for you in other places, in your community groups and that kind of thing. But parents, one of the greatest mistakes parents can make is they isolate themselves from God and his people. Like I said from the start, everybody struggles with parenting. I think we've all read a lot of books, and we all still don't feel a whole lot smarter. And we've tried different things, and some things work, but the reality is our kids are different, and so what works with this kid may not work with this kid. And so if we start looking at parent as just a bunch of tips and techniques, there's going to be different things that we're going to miss out when it comes to just walking with Jesus and trusting him and continuing to give our kids over to the Lord. Knowing this, here's what I tell you. The Lord loves your kids even more than you do, and I have to remind myself all the time of that. So what I would tell you is, I'll give you an example for me. Just 2 weeks ago after D-Town, one of my sons came home, and he said, Dad, can I talk with you? And then he began to open up about some things he's been hiding from me. And I was so thankful that he did that. Okay? And because, here's what you need to know, is that when he came and told me, we celebrated, hey, buddy, I am so glad you came and told me. Because because most guys, I interview a lot of 23-year-olds because I work with the Institute here at Watermark, and what I hear is stories of sin that starts at an early age that they never tell anybody, and then they get in their mid-20s, and they go, I've never really told them. And then I'll ask them, and they'll tell me, and they haven't told anybody else. And it's part of God's provision for them to walk in freedom. And so what we did was we celebrate. I said, "Man, I'm grieved that you felt like you had to hide this from me and that you weren't being truthful. I'm grieved by that. But let me tell you what I'm thankful for. You are living now in the light, and doesn't it feel good to be freed up to think that you don't have to hide things from me?" And you know what I told my son since they were little? I said, "Hey, what do you do when you mess up?" We had this talk. I have this talk with him all the time. What do you do? And notice how I didn't say if. What do you do when you mess up? And what I have them tell me is, they'd say, "Dad, we come tell you." And I said, "Well, why would you tell me?" And he said, "Because you love me, and you want to help me, and you want to pray for me." And then I said, "But wait a minute, could there be consequences to what you tell me?" "Yes, I'll have them tell me. Yes, there could be consequences, but you're going to love me, and you're going to help me." Because consequences, here's another little parenting tip, consequences can be a loving, loving thing. Okay? And so what I've had them tell me that, and you know what I got to do with my boy the other night? I said, hey, is what I told you when you were 10 and 11 and 12, is it true?" And he goes, "It's true." And right in the middle of when I'm talking to him, his small group leader texts him and says, "Hey, I hope you tell your dad. I know he's going to love you." And he said, "I just did. Thanks for loving me." And so I just will tell you that. So the reason I tell you that story is because the next night I'm with my community group. And you know what I did? I told them everything about what just happened. Because I want their counsel. I want them to pray. I want them to pray for my boy, okay? And I want others to be on this in this fight with me, and I want to do the same for them. So one of the mistakes we can make, and you know we know what keeps us from doing that, is we're fearful of, well, what will they think if they find out my kid's not perfect? And no one thinks your kid's perfect, okay? No one thinks that. And if you think they do, you're deceiving yourself. And you know what? Some of us, including this guy, sometimes I like the way it feels to think that they would think my kid was perfect. But I don't want them to know that. I mean, I don't want them to think that because I know he isn't. And that's why I use the word when you mess up with my boys. When you make a mistake, when you see something you shouldn't, whatever it is, come to me because I want to help you and I'm going to love you. So last to wrap this up, you guys may be going, "Man, there's several of these things I'm not doing a very good job at." And so my goal for you tonight is not for you to feel guilty around this. My goal for you is to say, "Lord, what's the one thing you'd have me do different tomorrow? What's the one or two things?" If you hear all these and you go, "Man, I'm convicted every year," let that fall to the side, because you can get paralysis by analysis with that of going, "Man, I'm messing up on everything." And here's what I tell you. The word says this in 1 Peter 4:8. Let's put up that verse. It says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." If you have messed up with your kids, so has everybody in this room. I've messed up. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so one of the things you can do with your kids, could be a great starting point for you, is you may just need to go to them and say, "Hey, I was listening to this talk tonight, and one area that I just need to ask your forgiveness is this." And ask their forgiveness. Say, "I haven't done a good job of leading you and loving God's word. I haven't been in God's word in weeks. And will you forgive me for not setting a good example for you?" And you know what will happen? We're always afraid that if we ask our kids forgiveness, that it's somehow that's going to hurt our authority with them. I think it helps your authority with them. Okay? When I've met with high school kids and I'm sitting at a Starbucks with the kids and he says, he's so mad, I can see he's just tempered, and I go, "Hey man, why are you so mad?" He goes, "I'm just mad at my dad." "Why are you mad at him? What's going on?" He's never wrong. He's never wrong. Now, that could be a number of things. That's a teenage boy talking. And what I did with him is I said, "Well, let's talk about you. Let's talk about you." And then what I said is, "Hey, you ought to go ask your dad. Just say, 'Hey, Dad,' you ought to just confess to him, 'Hey, sometimes I feel like you've never asked me for forgiveness on anything, and it's just hard for me.' You got to confess that to him. See what God does through that. Be humble. Go in an honoring way." But I can tell you, at my house, there's many times that I have to go to my kids and say, "Hey, will you forgive your daddy for the way I just disciplined you, that I was angry and it wasn't God's best?" The discipline, the way I did it was the problem. Okay? To discipline you is not the problem, but the way I did it was not honoring to the Lord. Hey, guys, will you forgive me for the way I talked to your mom tonight? That was not a good example of what it looks like to be a godly man and be a godly husband. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me for many things? And I'm going to tell you, it will increase your relationship with your son or daughter, and it'll be a blessing to them. So lastly, I just will tell you this. You are not going to... We get a chance to influence tomorrow with our own kids. We're the number one disciplers of our kids, okay? And I hope you're taking advantage of everything that Watermark has. If you have kids in our children's ministry or junior high and high school, I'm obviously a big fan of junior high and high school ministry here. And I've seen it in my own kids. That fact that my kid came, it was because of a worship time at D-Town and a leader, these leaders who went, hey, you should go tell your dad. And that's because they've been trained to know that we want our kids in our student ministry to come talk to their parents. We'd encourage them to do that. And so we get a chance to invest in tomorrow for the church, and it's our kids are our first ones. And then secondly, that you're not going to regret the time and the energy and the passion you put into the passion and prayer you invest in your kids. You just won't. You're not going to come to me one day and go, you know what, you told me to spend more time in the Word and pray about God changing me, and I did that, and you're going to go, I'm glad I did that. Or you're going to go, I wish I would have. And guess what? They just went off to college. That's where one of my boys is right now, and I miss the crud out of him. I miss him. But I know that I did all that I knew to do to steer him, point him to Jesus. And I can rest well in that. And it wasn't perfect. Far from perfect. He's home. He surprised me this weekend. He's home right now. Can't wait to go hang with him again tonight. So what I want you all to hear is there's a lot to chew on here. And so what we're going to do right now, I'm going to pray. And then let me read one verse to you, just last verse. Psalm 78. And I'm going to let a couple of our leaders go out and grab a little surprise for you guys tonight. But Psalm 78, 5-7. Look at this. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. In 1 Peter, that same chapter I was talking about earlier, it talks about there's an empty way of life handed down from our fathers, and there's one that's different. And what we're talking about tonight is a life. You get a chance to pass life on to your kids. And it's life in Christ. And wouldn't it be great if your kids, because of the example, that God would use you to that they would put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They would run hard after Jesus because of the example you set. Wouldn't that be awesome? And so I'm going to pray that God would allow us to do that. But more than anything, that he would give us the courage to run hard after him, to parent our kids in the way he'd call us to, and then depend on his Spirit, because that's our greatest hope. So let me pray for us, okay? Father, thank you for each friend here. Lord, we're reminded of your word. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are spiritually bankrupt. And that's us. Without you, we are hopeless. And without you, Lord, we are not going to lead our kids well. We need your Spirit to reign in us. We want to run hard after Christ. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We want to throw off what hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race set before us. And so I pray for each person. May there be one or two things that you encourage their hearts with tonight. May there be one or two things that you convict them about tonight. And you just remind them that you are faithful, even when we're faithless, that you love us, that your steadfast love never ceases. Even through all our parenting mistakes, love covers a multitude of sins. And so we ask you to work in the lives of our kids. Would you grab their hearts? Would you turn their hearts towards you? Your word says the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are turned towards you. And so we pray that our kids' hearts would be turned towards you. And we pray for more of you in their lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.